Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi there. We'll start the show in just one second. But first, if this 2020 holiday season feels like it's been a long time coming, make it worth the wait with Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks makes the perfect gift for family and friends or to treat yourself, all shipped directly to your door. They offer everything you need to bring families together for a delicious holiday feast, but be careful. Their Deluxe Grillers Assortment Package includes a variety of entries, sides, and desserts. And right now, you can get this mouthwatering package plus 4 free burgers and a free digital meat thermometer at an exclusive price only available to my listeners. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code VOICES into the search bar, get a jump on gift shopping with Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks isn't just steaks, it's a fantastic gift and a safe way to share the joy of the season with Omaha Steaks' guaranteed quality and safety with every order. Order the Deluxe Grillers Assortment Package today and you'll receive 4 free Omaha Steaks and a free digital meat thermometer when you go to omahasteaks.com and type VOICES in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com and type VOICES in the search bar to shop the best gourmet gifts of the season. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball Hotline.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
How can I help you, sir?
I'm Joe Bethersonton. That's one T and with an H in there.
And your address?
Fargo.
Your street address, please?
Zip code Fargo, North Dakota, right now.
My street address is 11454 Pruder Street, Fargo, North Dakota. Zip code 50504.
Thank you. Your voice sounds very familiar to me.
I do radio commercials for products.
And how can I help you?
Stuffing should be stuffed inside the turkey. Am I correct?
It can also be baked in a casserole dish.
If I cook it inside the turkey, is there a chance I could kill my guests? I'm not saying that's necessarily a deal breaker.
Well, there are some concerns. 2 main bacterial problems are Salmonella and Campylobacter jejuna.
First of all, I think you made the second bacteria up. And second of all, how do I avoid it?
Make sure all the ingredients are cooked first.
Excellent.
You have an accurate thermometer?
Oh, yeah. It was presented to me as a gift from the personal sous chef to the king of auto sales in Fargo. Phil Behrend. The man can sell a car like anything.
Very good, sir. You have a good Thanksgiving.
And you do, too. Thanks a lot. That was excellent. We should do that once a week.
Happy Thanksgiving! Bob Zeska!
Hello, Zeska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Zeska Show.
For the rest of the show, please call me Joe Bethersonton. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, November 19, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,401 of the Trump crisis. 62 days until the inauguration, so let's bring him in, the Goth Ninja! It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also sexyliberal.com, along with all the other sexy liberal programs. It is your sexy liberal podcasting superstation. And David T. Rex Ferguson, from Patreon. Hi. Patreon.com/TheTRexReport. Bookmark it, why don't you? Also, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. We premiered another one of your songs, David, on Tuesday's show with the great Buzz Burbank, and enjoyed it thoroughly. Buzz had some very kind things to say. And of course, every time now we mention Buzz, we have to play this too.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Oh my God.
You said it all.
Yeah. Oh, you guys, did you not hear the Buzz Burbank jingle that Rocky Mountain Mike made?
I did hear it, and it just delights me to
I love
end.
It so much.
I used to get that song stuck in my head when I was a kid all the time.
It's so great.
I'd be like, when you say tuna salad, you know, or just whatever.
It's Budweiser. I think it was the Budweiser commercial. And I'm so glad that Rocky Mountain Mike and Mary in Ann Arbor, Nancy in Ann Arbor made this jingle, because it has officially erased this from my brain.
Never going away.
That
Did you
was...
see the tweet with, I think it was his kid or somebody, was singing the Dan Bongino song?
Yes,
that was
I know.
A friend's kid. At the table doing her homework singing, I want to be at the RNC. I want to sing. And every time she hit a syllable of Dan Bongino's name, she banged on the table like a drummer. She was like, Dan Bongino. And then the kid's like, are you videoing me?
I hope she at least understood the irony of it.
I want to see Patricia McCloskey. I want to scream for the GOP. I want to sit with Dan Bongino.
Yeah, okay.
Can we have him on like we did Mary sometime? I would just love to hang out. And
I'll check in with him. Yeah, he's really great. Nick Lutzko, at Nick Lutzko on Twitter.
Make sure to flirt. He's actually very good looking.
He did a somber version of the I Want to Be at the RNC song, where it was the sad version. I think we played it here on the show. What am I talking about? I think we played it here a couple of weeks ago. All the shows run together now.
But, I mean, we're going to need these things because apparently Dan Bongino is the new conservative, meteorically rising icon that's shooting across the Facebook skies.
Oh, yeah. And I assure
you. There's a whole thing on him in Politico where it's like they managed for like 10 paragraphs to not make him sound like he needs a map to wipe his ass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, that's the insane thing about Dan Bongino is the fact that somehow he's managed to attain this gigantic reach on Facebook, and it's obviously partially due to Facebook and the fact that they don't care what kind of disinformation is on their platform. They're just letting these guys go. The Daily Wire guys, Ben Shapiro and all the rest of them. But Dan Bongino, every time there's a top 10 rankings from Facebook, the pages with the highest reach, Dan Bongino is like 6 or 7 of those pages. And one of these days, I assure you, Charlie Kirk is going to be running the RNC. So I want to get into all of the fuckery and nonsense that's going on this week as far as just straight up. I mean, I've been calling it fuckery. It is straight up election interference. This is an attack on our democracy happening by Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and all of his minion. Donald Trump personally called the Wayne County, Michigan canvassing board members to lobby them in order to get them to reverse their votes. But of course, it's too late for that. They can't do that. They've already certified the election in that county, in Wayne County, Michigan. I'm not sure if they certified the election in the entire state, but did you guys see when Donald Trump was crowing about how Michigan refused to certify the vote totals?
Yeah.
And he was so happy. He was so thrilled. He was like, USA strong, USA proud. The Michigan has decided. And it wasn't Michigan. It was Wayne County for about 5 minutes because those two Republican members of the board of canvassers decided we're not going to certify this. We're going to vote against certification on this, which is just absolutely crazy. There's no justification for that whatsoever. No evidence. And Donald Trump, of course, took that to mean the entire state has refused to certify. And then 5 minutes later, the two Republican members signed on, certified the vote, and off it went. So, too bad, Donald Trump. I was waiting to roll that out for some reason. Thank you to Stephanie Miller and Sean Comiskey for providing the weep wow sound. It's the sound of Trump's intestines, I think we determined.
Yeah, well, and then those two same people tried to rescind yesterday or today, and then the Secretary of State of Michigan said, no,
I know.
You can't rescind. Sorry. It's not, there's no legal way you can say no. My view is reasonable Republicans in Michigan should then throw those two out, put two reasonable Republicans in and go, yeah. No, we don't rescind. We're down with this if that's going to get more rat fuckery about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is some, like, Tom Hartman scared the crap out of me this morning. He goes, they're going for the 12th Amendment. I'm like, stop it, Tom. They're not.
If you can overturn elections just because you're screaming about it, there's something horribly wrong. And the fact that Donald Trump is so desperate that he's calling members of the canvassing board.
Yeah, that's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And in fact, what he's trying to do is he's trying to use the power of the presidency to intimidate these members of the board of canvassers. But I'm sure it was a perfect call, right? I'm sure the... Just like the call with Zelensky. Oh, of course it was a perfect call. On the contrary, I have a recording of the phone call between Donald Trump and the Wayne County canvassing board members. Here's a little bit of that. Trump's upset. He's,
Ron, are you okay?
The man put his back, sir.
Breathe, Ron. Breathe.
The motorcycle.
Man, I guess he's Joe Biden.
The motorcycle on the bridge. I hit him with a burrito.
Something about a burrito.
He took him with his foot, and he kicked him. That's what he did.
Someone punted him?
No, wait. Let me say something.
President's a little upset.
I didn't understand a one word you said.
Ron, are you okay? Ron.
Ron, where are you?
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
What is this from?
Oh, that
it's
was from
Ron
Anchorman.
Burgundy.
Yeah,
Anchorman. Ron Burgundy, Anchorman.
It was the great, so my Will mic Ferrell. Was off for a couple minutes there, guys, and I was wondering, like, they're just not interested in anything I have to say today.
I was wondering where you
they're
were.
Not even laughing at my jokes.
I had no idea. Like, I'm just rambling on and on and on about Wayne County, and I'm like, where's David? And there you are. I'm glad you figured that out. Right. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the mic itself or the wire. It only seems to happen.
It's that connection. You got to jiggle it. You got to jiggle the connection.
Jiggle it a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys want to talk about what's going on in Michigan, but can we talk about the Game of Thrones fucking drama that's happening in my state with Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? Well, it turns out that one of the people who I've been sticking pins in is a voodoo doll all year. I'm going to have to make an apology to Brad Raffensperger.
No shit.
The Republican Secretary of State, who, I mean, is not known for his transparency and, you know, urgency to get everybody to vote. I mean, he's part of the Kemp cabal of vote suppressors. But Georgia's prepared to certify our election results. The recount has ended last night on Wednesday, and nothing changed. But
of course,
apparently, since January, the Trump people have been going at Raffensperger because he wouldn't sign on as an honorary co-chair of the Georgia campaign. And apparently, like, some Kirkenberg, I don't know, one of the guy who's one of the many little Lilliputians who, like, is a tiny lawyer that runs around for Trump trying to make these things happen.
Yes.
Came exploding into a private meeting and was like, why haven't you endorsed the president?
Oh, my God.
Was like, we don't do that. I'm the Secretary of State. I'm supposed to stay impartial.
Mm-hmm.
No Secretary of State in the history of Georgia has endorsed a presidential candidate.
I mean, there are numerous examples of just flagrant attempts to not only subvert democracy, but to undermine the incoming Biden administration. I mean, you got the GSA woman, Emily Murphy, I think is her name.
That's suet pudding.
Yeah,
I kept calling her Erin Murphy, and I had to apologize to the actress that played Tabitha.
Well,
see, our story in Georgia, wait, there's more. It gets even more Game of Thrones and Baroque because, like, apparently last week, Lindsey Graham on Friday called our Secretary of State and was like, so how hard is it for you to throw out some ballots?
Yeah.
Well, let me do it right. How hard is it for you to throw out some ballots? you know, with the signature matching and all that, y'all. And our Secretary of State was like, this isn't your state.
Yeah. Right.
And we've had we are perfectly willing to sign off. This was 100% free and fair election.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're trying to overturn my work here. And, you know, so Lindsey Graham gets caught when yeah. Ratzenberger has the stones to come out and say, y'all, he's bothering me.
Like, right.
Will you stop touching me? And, and so Graham goes, well, I never said anything like that. But there were two other people on the phone call.
Uh-oh. Yeah, whoops.
And they both come forward and said, yeah. Lindsey Graham is full of shit. He is trying yeah. to change our state's vote totals by throwing yeah. away votes from black areas.
Yeah, here. Of course. Yep. Yeah, this is
well,
the plan.
I have a theory on the Trump thing. It's not necessarily to overturn the entire election, mm-hmm. just to make sure that Biden doesn't get 306.
You know what? This is the new paradigm in the United States. This is all about propaganda superseding everything else.
Yeah.
And it's actually a functional plan. It's a functional mm-hmm. strategy. Because if you look at it through this prism, that in the absence of facts, in the absence of supporting evidence, all they've got is whatever Rudy Giuliani is screaming into the universe. And he was doing that again today. We're going to get to that in a second.
And his hair dye was melting.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that Rudy Giuliani and everything that's coming out of the White House right now, certainly out of Donald Trump's Twitter feed, is receiving the support of most of those 73 million people who voted for Donald Trump. You don't need to have actual facts anymore. All you need to do is have a big enough platform for your nonsense and people will buy it. And that's what's scaring the shit out of me. I mean, it's just like, how do you combat that other than to fight fire with your own form of disinformation, which we cannot do? That is the end. I mean,
we could,
but we don't want to
last in case of emergency option. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
We don't want to have to do that. And certainly there's the potential to be able to do it, but then you have to lower yourself to their level. And if we, as soon as
haven't
that
we already been dragged down there to begin with, this is where everyone is.
Well, no, I'm just saying we're not sitting here. If we're sitting here making shit up right now, David, then holy shit, the game is over. The Republic is done. Done. The whole thing is you might as well, you know, scrap it all.
Stop.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to be just making shit up.
I know. No. I mean, that would be the only way to fight fire because, again, the record doesn't matter. The fact that Donald Trump has this horrifying record. I mean, 4 years of a horror show, and the fact that he was able to gain 10 million, 11 million votes, it's just a hallmark to the power of propaganda in the United States. It is a testament to the fact that millions of people are so easily duped and deceived by constant nonsense. And that is a terrifying prospect moving ahead. And that's seems to me as if the only solution, and I keep going back to this, I'm going to be screaming about this in perpetuity, going on and on. The only way to conquer it is to simply outnumber it during elections. And that means the off-year elections. That means next November, state and local elections, elections for governors, midterm elections, certainly presidential elections. Because if 2010 was in any indication of what happens in a midterm election with a Democratic president, we are in serious fucking trouble. And
none of those patterns matter anymore.
No, I hope you're right.
This is an extraordinary election cycle, I believe, and I don't think
this election cycle was, you're right, it was extraordinary.
And I mean, it's going to continue to move forward because these people are not going to get unregistered.
Okay.
And we're not going to unlearn the trick of voting by paper ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of how things go is going to depend on whether we get a Republican or Democratic Congress.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
like, what they – because, like, mainly the reason that the current president's party gets their asses kicked 2 years in is because, you know, they're actually trying to govern and you have the Republicans or whoever shooting at their feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just I feel like all prior election metrics are off. Like,
yeah.
All deals are – I mean – and. Because unprecedented has been the word for the last year. I just figure that's going to keep moving forward because these are truly extraordinary times.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side is so extraordinarily evil.
Yeah. I hope that message breaks through the constant pro-Trump propaganda that will surely continue after Trump is long out of office. The one advantage that we could have after Trump leaves is if Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg actually do what they promise and shut down Donald Trump's platforms the second he violates the rules once he's a private citizen again. And they have pledged to treat him like a private citizen. I mean, this is something that came out from Facebook and Twitter the other day. And
what about YouTube?
Yeah, that's another platform that we haven't heard from yet. But they said, if the president is spreading hate speech or promoting violence, those will receive the same treatment as anyone else saying those things after he's out of office. So this both indicates that he was given special treatment as president and indicates on the upside that once he's out, they're going to hold him accountable like they should be, like they should have always been, because the damage has already been done. Let's face it. Anything that happens from this point forward is just gilding the Trump lily, so to speak, and, you know, adding to it. But if they stop him, if they shut him down after he's out, then he has to go over to Parler.
But this is
or something
all just
like
more.
That.
I mean, I really feel like everything he's doing right now is like his first trailer for the Trump TV network.
Yeah.
You know, he's setting it up, this narrative that the presidency's been stolen from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to try to form his own, like, you know, One America kind of media network. And you know, we can all watch it while we eat our Trump steaks riding Trump Airlines through his closed casinos. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of optimism for him, like, because so much of what's happened so far, and he has no idea of it, is he's been helped along by like lots and lots of nefarious actors, including Russia, including, you know, the freaking neocons in the federal government. Just, you know what I'm saying? He's had a whole lot of enablers because he's powerful.
Oh, right,
right. Like when he loses his Baron Harkin and little floaty things and has to walk on his own fat little feet again. I think that it's going to be a different story. But I mean, we'll
hope you're
see.
Right. I hope you're right. I just I don't see it going away anytime soon. I mean, they are so utterly snowed. I mean, the fact that Dan Bongino, going back to him, the fact that he is so popular and such an influencer right now is horrifying because he's an idiot. I mean, they're all just fucking more. Charlie Kirk is one of the standard bearers in the Republican Party right now. And, you know, the guy on a regular basis does nothing but eat lead paint chips. I mean, that's at least what it seems like.
I got to talk about him for a second. I really had not, like, I had not encountered a lot of Charlie Kirk before. I just had known he was out there.
Yeah.
And I watched his video, his little short about how liberals hate Thanksgiving, and that's why they're trying to keep everybody from having huge family gatherings.
That's right.
But we love fucking Christmas.
Yes,
we love fucking Christmas.
Fucking that's what I said. I was like, you listen, you doink. Like, we we hate Christmas.
But see, that's
what liberals are for.
That's what
like,
I'm talking
get it right.
about. That's what I'm talking about. That is something that is just invented out of whole cloth. The liberals had nothing to do with whether people say Merry Christmas or not.
Or Happy Holidays.
Yeah, there's no legislation. There's no proposed legislation. There's no liberals going around, oh, don't you dare say Merry Christmas. If anybody is doing that, it's corporations.
Right.
It is retail corporations.
See, that's what they're actually objecting to is societal shift. But I need to get back to Charlie Trump. I mean,
Charlie Kirk. Yeah, well, you might as well
because
call him Charlie Trump.
I watched his video, and it's basically like, you know, him in a blue backdrop, which he's probably doing from a refrigerator box in a van down by the river, you know. But, I mean, okay, and this may be catty, but how is a person wearing clothes that badly? Like, he's got on a blue V-neck T-shirt, which should be, like, the easiest item in the world to pull off. And it looks like that Downy commercial.
You know, the, yeah,
you
I know the one you're
talking incredibly comfortable. Does your V-neck look more like a U-neck? Like, I mean, and it's just, that's, I mean, and his hair looks like he slept under a, I mean, it's like, and his weird little face is too small for his big, giant head. And I'm just.
He's got little baby teeth. But yeah.
And the other thing about these guys is they're so effete. Like, he's sitting there talking and he's like waving his ballpoint pen hand like Mariah Carey singing a glissandro, you know? Like, just like tracing those lines through the air, like, diva. And I'm just like, I mean, and but see, the problem is that like the RNC like weaponizes these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they get funding like in a way that the left has never figured out because they, I mean, he is one of those fever swamps, like gateway pundit
oh, yeah.
of their whole imaginary industry of lies and conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, it's, you know, somebody was like, watch, here's how the cycle works. Like, Charlie Kirk burps it. Fox News asks about it.
Yeah.
The president tweets about it. Fox News talks about the tweet, you know, and it just repeat.
Yeah, they all have significant reach on social media. Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, Dan Bongino, all these characters have. Jack Posobiec is another one. Jacob Wall.
All I'm saying, DNC, is where's my motherfucking check?
That's right. Well, getting back into the fuckery here, several cases that I found rather alarming over the past couple of days of not only interfering in the election, but interfering in the transition, the ability of Joe Biden to be president starting on January 20. I mean, this has really, I mean, some of these things have really nothing to do with the votes themselves. This is about fucking up Joe Biden deliberately. I mean, using American foreign policy, using human lives to fuck with Joe Biden because Donald Trump is having this colossal hissy fit. Like, for example, CNN's Kristen Holmes reported yesterday, some Health and Human Services staffers instructed today that if anyone from President-elect Joe Biden's team contacts them, they are not to communicate with them and are to alert Deputy Surgeon General Rear Admiral Erica Schwartz. That was my radio name for a while.
rear.
Yeah, hey, I was rear admiral in this crowd.
It was the worst. Yeah, you're right. But it was the worst. See, that's why it was the worst radio name in the world. Deputy Surgeon General Rear Admiral Erica Schwartz of the communication per an administration official. So you got to tattle if someone goes to HHS.
To do their job?
Yeah, exactly. To find out about, you know, the gigantic pandemic that's killing people. 250,000 people as of right now. And if Joe Biden, anyone from the Biden staff, goes to HHS, there to report directly to Deputy Surgeon General Rear Admiral Erica Schwartz. And then, of course, that'll get alerted back to Donald Trump. And then whoever that person was will get fired because right. Donald Trump is an asshole. And Donald Trump is not only an asshole, but a sadist, a sadistic asshole. I mean, meanwhile, CNN also reported on Wednesday that Trump and his henchmen are planning to intentionally sabotage Biden on foreign policy.
It's like they think it's just sort of like an envelope or a notebook.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you understand bombs will fly on the other side of the world. Children will die.
Right.
Parents will be I mean, it's just like but this is – I mean, we've all known that this was like in an abusive relationship, the most dangerous place for the partner who's not abusive is when they try to leave.
Yeah.
And – you know, even though America has said no, Trump is trying to force himself on her, and it just...
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jesus.
I mean, and now that she said, I don't want you, he said, fine, no one else can have you either.
Yeah. Well, a second official has told CNN that their goal, the Trump goal, is to set as many fires, that it'll be hard for the Biden administration to put them all out. So we're talking about, you know, we heard news.
See, if we were talking about a fucking apartment development in Queens,
yeah,
that would be one thing.
Right.
We're talking about the fucking country in the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about shit going down in the Middle East, possibly a gigantic fire in Iran if Trump gets his way. I mean, there are ramifications in terms of blowback from whatever Donald Trump is planning. That will last for decades.
The vaccines.
Yeah.
Well, like Biden's like, we need to see your plan for distributing vaccine. But by the way, I actually have a source inside the Trump industry that has sent me their plan.
The Trump industry?
Yeah, the Trump administration's
industry.
The Trump industry administration's plans for distributing the vaccine.
Does it involve plasma? I hope it does.
Yeah, no, okay. It just says, oh, no.
Does it say
they don't have a plan for distributing the vaccine? Yep, that's the one. That's their plan for distributing vaccines. That's what I, you know, like there's like three monkeys with a box of Crayolas, like, you know, and like Stephen Miller's yelling at them, make a plan.
Oh yeah,
so we could hand them over a vaccine plan because they haven't done their homework.
But I mean, it's so fucking crazy because what Donald Trump doesn't understand, and he'll never understand, I mean, he may understand, but he just doesn't give a shit, the fact that fucking around with foreign policy right now on his way out.
9/11.
Yeah, exactly. Just to screw around with Joe Biden, that leads to terrorist attacks that could lead to retaliation against overseas allies or worse. I mean, we're talking about not only fucking around with the Biden administration, but fucking around with a dozen subsequent presidential administrations, including Republican ones. How many American military personnel will die because Donald Trump refuses to take no for an answer, refuses to take you're fired for an answer? Because he is such a gigantic whiny diaper baby, he is going to get people killed by the thousands, if not more. This is just so...
See, we've known this. We've known that he was... I mean,
yeah, we knew it.
It doesn't surprise any of us at all. He's been telegraphing for months that even if he lost, he was going to make it a complete... It's all about him, not about the country, and it would all be all about his just like whiny baby, like, you know, shit diaper tantrum.
Right. But I mean, knowing about it doesn't make it any less urgent. You know what I mean? It's just, it's still, we can't just blow it off. I don't think we can blow it off any longer. And I get the sense that we
I
have just
like
been
we
so
need more aggressive Democrats who think way ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that's what we're going to need. We're absolutely going to need aggressive Democrats moving forward. And I'm talking about as soon as the prosecutions start, the Democrats need to fucking own it. The Democrats need to stand by their investigations and not take any screaming and whatever temper tantrums the red hats are going to have about that. Not even take them seriously. Just keep pressing for it. Rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. That needs to be the mantra moving forward because...
Oh, you sweet summer child.
Well, there's going to be a temptation that as soon as prosecutors start collecting evidence and that word gets out, suddenly it's going to be Donald Trump sending his red hats to personally attack whoever the prosecutor is. The intention
what they're
there,
doing in Arizona right now.
Yeah, exactly
with the
right.
Secretary I mean, of State there.
And so the intention is to freak them out enough so that they drop the charges. Well, it's not worth it for Democratic politicians, for Democratic members of Congress, even for the White House to say, hey, you know what? We keep going down this road. We could lose in 2022. We could lose all kinds of voters in 2022. No, look, there needs to be just a concerted effort to not only allow the prosecutions to take place, but to make sure that the Democrats don't slip into a fucking complacent torpor between now and 2022 and now and 2024. And that's going
to
be
another motive for the Trump team to leave all those fires burning.
Yeah.
It gives you less time to fight, you know, the old fires when the new fires are burning. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
You know who's handled this better than anybody?
Who's that?
Gretchen fucking Whitmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, have you noticed she has not been seen without a black leather jacket on since they, and I mean, maybe like at one press conference she was indoors, but like every time I see her now, she's dressed like Wonder Woman off duty, you know, and I feel like she's projecting strength.
Yep.
She's projecting, I'm not afraid of you. You're a bunch of noisy bullies, and our state is going to do what it has to do. And, like, I just, like, she is a symbol to me right now of grace under power. I'm a grace under fire.
Oh, my God, like, yeah. Yeah.
And I just, I've got to take my hat off because, like, you know, a fucking plot to kidnap me. If I found out about that shit, y'all wouldn't see me. I wouldn't be anywhere near a TV camera. We'd be T-Rexes, just, you know, for an undisclosed location right now.
Yeah.
She just, like, and I feel like she's, in terms of the choices she's making, of what words she's using, how she's moving forward, how she's handling the new lockdown orders, I'm just like, folks, this is courage.
Yeah.
This is how leaders lead.
And, you know, I'm in no way a leader, but my instinct is to run into the fire. When I'm getting bullied or someone's trying to push me around, my instinct is to get into that person's face, and which
me
is why
too.
It's partially why, yeah, which is partially why it's confounding to see all these Republicans cower before Donald Trump, just shaking in their boots, worried about the red hats coming after them. And I just feel like, well, God damn it. Just
be the hero, somebody.
Well,
yeah.
Also, you know? don't forget that WikiLeaks still has the RNC emails.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah, that's also true.
So there might be some compromat that isn't just baking recipes and, you know.
Not risotto.
You know, and you know, exactly. It's not just that, or God forbid, Debbie Wasserman Schultz wanting Hillary Clinton to get elected. Shocker of shocks, you know. It's not something that was bad for people that were liberally Democrats that were Bernie supporters to read. But other than that, the DNC email hack was, the dump was like, whatever.
Totally
dude.
Innocuous.
Exactly. But maybe the RNC hack had some stuff in it because we still haven't seen that.
It seems any like, given that the Republicans should be privately helping any investigation that goes on, any sort of comeuppance for Donald Trump, they should be helping that along privately, quietly, secretly.
Maybe
if they
some
can.
Are.
That could very well be. And it'd be great to know about it at some point, even if it was an off the record whisper via DM. Some Republican to say, hey, listen, we got this covered. We're really with you guys.
I think they're all Kavanaughs, though. They've never gotten past that, oh my God, my parents are going to kill me thing.
Yeah, that's
true. Who is it so far? It's Romney, Collins, Murkowski, and Sass are the only ones in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Of Republicans that have congratulated Joe Biden.
Yeah.
They're officially the ones that probably haven't had sex with anyone outside of their marriages since.
Well, and that could be it. That could be, there is no compromise on the four of them. I mean, I'm not a fan of Ben Sass, but every now and then when he's questioning, I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know. But Romney, you know, other than his Bain Capital crap, it was legal but awful. He's squeaky clean.
Oh, yeah.
And then Murkowski is, she seems like a nice enough lady. Susan Collins can go kiss my ass, but I doubt that any of these...
But you doubt that she's got a lot of sexy secrets, like stuff.
Oh, she might.
Rug.
You never know. Esmeralda just might.
Okay.
I was going to say earlier, though, you were talking, Bob, about like this is something we share. I kind of mentioned this on Twitter. Of course, you probably never read my responses, but it's okay.
are you talking to me? Are you saying that I don't read your responses on Twitter?
Yes.
Oh my God! Where would you get that impression? Of course, whenever they appear, thanks to my algorithm, I do see them, and I often like them.
I was just saying that it's for us and people like us. I include you two in this, Jody and Buzz. There's no rush, like strutting straight up to the biggest bully in the room and poking him in the eye hard, because we are Davids and they are Goliaths, and that's what gets us off. Like, we are gonna like fight the big thing.
Yeah.
And the conservatives are the exact opposite. They're like, we got to stomp on anything that's threatening our power and that's, of course, they've convinced themselves it's the other way around, and they're just so oppressed.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what the Democrats have to bear in mind. This is the struggle for the Democratic Party between now and 2024 is the centrist Democrats need to accept some progressive policies. The progressive Democrats need to accept some centrist policies. There needs to be some form of detente between, weird to put it this way, the right wing of the Democratic Party and the left wing of the Democratic Party. With the
they both have their. You see, the thing is, like, the centrist people are good at holding the line.
Yeah.
And the progressive people are good at going on the attack. And we need both.
Yeah, we need both.
So fucking do your jobs and stop fighting each other and fight the Republicans.
That's exactly right. So and that's got to be the key. That is the secret to pushing through the propaganda. That is the secret to pushing through the fact that seems like American voters default back to Republicans as soon as we are caught with our pants down, the Democratic Party specifically. And so we need to push against that. We need to continue this because the alternative, I mean, I keep saying it, it's those zombies pounding on the front door. They're waiting to come in, and as soon as we let our guard down, they're coming back in. And after 4 years of this fucking nightmare, can you imagine another 4 years of that? Can you imagine the Red Hats controlling Congress, both chambers again? I mean, that is unthinkable at this point, given the fact that Q is making inroads in the Republican Party, given the fact that all of these Republicans are just loyalists to Donald Trump to the end because they're so afraid of the Red Hats, that they're not moving. And as soon as they get back in, it's going to be, I mean, if 2022 goes sour, it's going to be impeach Joe Biden.
We need Stacey Abrams.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we need Stacey Abrams. Yes.
We need
more people
national,
like her.
Like a whole U.S. program. But this is one of the things that as soon as Biden and Harris are in power in June or July, whenever it's over, sorry, bite my tongue.
Sorry, Biff. Yeah, no longer going
to
be president.
We really need to work out this whole unequal representation thing because, I mean, you know, Iowa has two senators, California has two senators, there's like 150 Iowas. Population-wise, in just lower California.
Well, if we want to keep the Senate that way, there's rules that can be changed where it's more equitable.
Well, why? But that's
Chuck Schumer might be able to do that. Should Georgia go the way it's supposed to go? He can change the filibuster rule. He can go crazy because it's already been done. I say he takes it the ball even further. But what needs to happen is if we keep the Senate as it is, plus we need to add Washington D.C. and Puerto Rico and maybe Guam and Samoa and other territories I think, well, they kind of do. It depends on who you talk to, but they would get representation. properly in this country. Like, you know, who said it? Didn't John Cornyn say they Puerto Rico overvoted? Honey, they don't vote in the presidential election. But the thing is what upsets me is the House of Representatives more so, because the Senate is how it is, as arcane and stupid as it is. The House of Representatives, what is the smallest state that has one representative? Whatever that population is, that should be equal. And in California, it's not. We are not equally represented in the House at this point with our 47 million people that we've got. We have too few reps.
Okay.
And really, it's like the minority rule that Graham and McConnell are ruling in contempt of the majority of the people in this country.
Yes.
That has got to change.
Far be it for me to disagree with both goth ninjas, but after we take a short break for a commercial here, I want to come back and talk about this exact topic, because I think it's a blind alley that we don't necessarily need to go down as a party, as a movement.
Why talk about it some more?
What's that?
Then why keep talking about it if it's a blind alley?
Well, because I have something to say. I have justification. See, they call that justifying your opinion.
This is why I was a total pill in family therapy as a teenager. So what's your point?
Well, the season of giving thanks is upon us. The special day of turkey, family, maybe, and football will be here before you know it. Before gathering with your family to share in your Thanksgiving traditions, it's important to allow some extra time for you, the time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best for your loved ones. With Plexiderm, all you need is, say it with me now, 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. And the results are going to last for hours, so you can relax surrounded by loved ones knowing you're always looking your best. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 right now with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code SEXYLIBERAL to the operator. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Brad Brooks right here. This is a brand new single called The American Ruse. Link in the description at bobseska.com. He's one of my faves right now. Holy shit. Really great
God,
stuff.
That makes me want to be in a bar.
Oh, I know.
Like, just ears ringing, people all around me holding a beer, even though I don't drink. Right. You know, just
the
like,
secondhand smoke. Oh, not anymore. I forgot about that. They don't smoke in bars anymore. Good. Yeah, really great stuff. His name is Brad Brooks. The song is called The American Ruse, and I got a link in the description to download it and support Brad Brooks and his music. Also, bobseska.com/music if you want to submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so now here's the thing. The Great Compromise was supposed to balance out the makeup of Congress between populated states and unpopulated states. Right. So you've got the Senate with every state getting 2 members of the Senate. Plus, you've got the House to make up for the fact that there's population disparities between one state to the other. So the idea is that it balances those things. So whereas California only has 2 senators to Wyoming's 2 senators, the fact is that Wyoming only has 1 member of the House, while California has, what, 28? 54. Yeah.
It's the same electors. We have the same. Your electors are what you're represented in the House.
Okay. So is it 54?
Or it's 50? It's 52. Actually, you have 52 representatives and 2 senators. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So I mean, that's the intention, and I'm trying to figure out why is there this concern over representation in Congress when you do have the House? Now, granted, in the Senate they do
because the Senate's like the final arbiter.
Right. Well, the final arbiter as far as like Supreme Court justices and members
and
of the
legislation
cabinet.
Legislation and getting
well, sometimes
the
House
desk.
Is sometimes the legislation will go back to the House as the final right. vote on a piece of legislation. But there is a trade-off insofar as the House controls the budget, the power of appropriations. So there are advantages in the House of Representatives that the Senate doesn't have. So that's where I'm coming from. And maybe I'm missing something. I'm perfectly open to hearing counter arguments on this. But I feel like...
Well, just like the impeachment, it was originated in the House but decided by the Senate. And this, you know, the fucking Senate is not a representation of the people.
Yeah, but the Senate can't originate articles of impeachment. So they don't have that power.
They have the power to just destroy it because it doesn't suit their agenda.
I mean, I get that they do have the majority of the advice and consent. I think when it comes to maybe replacing a vice president, the House gets that advice and consent role. But in terms of approving cabinet members, approving judges, approving members of the Supreme Court, the Senate gets all that power, but the House gets its own powers to balance that out.
Well, the thing is,
I feel like we need term limits too, though. I mean, what the
no,
fuck?
No. You don't want term limits. That when lobbyists take more control, we do not. That every 2 years we elect a new House, and every 2 years a third of the Senate is up for re-election. Term limits is stupid because lobbyists will have more control over who is in than they already do.
Yeah. Well,
first, we shoot all the lobbyists. That's just a priori.
Well, first we get money out of politics, but until that happens.
I'm jotting all these things down because I mean these are all valid things that we need to look at. Maybe form a commission to study
any
reforms.
Other countries don't
even
have lobbyists like we do.
Yeah,
maybe Russia, where you can just like, oh, come to my dacha. So, I'll give you $1 billion and young daughter.
Here's my thing with term limits. Now that Jody's brought it up, is that Americans always clamor for term limits. Throw the bums out, and then as soon as they walk into a voting booth, it's like, well, I know
they
this
vote
person.
For their
I'm
guy.
Gonna,
yeah.
yeah, I'm familiar they with this person. Don't change horses midstream. I'm gonna vote for that right. person too. And so it becomes this contradiction among American voters. At the same time, people always do this too, and we're going to see this moving forward as well, especially if the Democrats can't take the Senate with these runoff elections. You had a lot of people going into voting booths and getting their mail-in ballots this past time around and going, well, maybe I'll split the ticket. Democratic president, and we'll give him a Republican Senate just to balance things out. Like a fucking idiot. And then what they do for 4 years is they come out, why is there so much gridlock? I'm doing my Jiminy Glick voice again. Why is there so much gridlock?
What is your real name?
Maybe if you voted the bums out once in a while and you voted for all Democrats across the board or whatever it happens to be, just don't split the ticket and then bitch about gridlock. It's fucking stupid.
But as far as like the House of Representatives being expanded, it hasn't been expanded since Taft was in office.
Wow.
And our population has grown. Okay, so Wyoming apparently has 453,588 residents that have one representative. California, it's a much bigger number of people with our 52. So as far as I'm concerned, Wyoming has one. That should be the basis. Whatever the smallest state population is that has one representative, because they always have to have at least one,
mm-hmm.
whatever that population is, that expands to the rest of the country. That you can cut it off and round it up or whatever.
I see.
But right now, say 500,000 people
mm-hmm.
is a congressional district in every state.
Right.
Boom. New York gets more people. California gets more people. Mm. Texas gets more people. Florida gets more people. I mean, you know what I mean? And so it makes it so that the 9 seats that the Democrats lost this year mm-hmm. might not matter so much.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually in favor of adding a D.C., provided there's a federal district
Absolutely.
Inside the state of D.C. And
right.
then I'm also in favor of adding Puerto Rico as well. So that there
U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, U.S. Samoa. I mean, we've got some territories all over the planet that might
yeah.
want to become states as well. And we don't know how they may vote. But my view is if we have the problem is
Puerto Rico
Rico's
right
not represented.
Is not real crazy about joining up with the people who abused the shit out of them during Maria.
Yeah.
There's actually a burgeoning independence movement, and we can talk about that sometime. It's been there.
Yeah. That's the same with Hawaii. There's one there, too.
There always is.
Yeah,
Hi, I live in the valley. We tried to secede from L.A. Trust me,
yeah.
I understand.
But Puerto Rico, there's also, like, I don't know if it's true or not, but, I mean, people are worried that, like, if, like, people like Rick Santorum are going to be like, well, if you want to be a state, you got to speak English.
Yeah.
No.
And well, you know, that's how they act.
That's not how this country is. We are not Germany. Switzerland has three languages.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just because they're smart. They send their kids to real schools.
Well, I mean, they do, because I actually lived there for about a month years ago, and we lived in a French-speaking part of Switzerland, but we went to a German-speaking part, and we went to an Italian-speaking part, and literally the signs on the motorway change.
Yeah.
From French to German to Italian, and everybody kind of speaks everything. Everybody speaks English relatively well, but they all speak a little German. They all speak a little French. They all speak, you know, everybody speaks a little bit of whatever. Like in Canada, too, there's French-speaking parts of Canada versus English-speaking parts of Canada, but everybody kind of speaks a little of both.
Amazing what happens. I'm sorry.
And in the United States, we don't have a national language. So no, Puerto Rico, speak Spanish all you want. I'm cool with that. I should learn Spanish when I go there.
Yeah. And also in Europe, they don't necessarily demonize intellectualism. So they're teaching multiple languages. Okay, I want to get back to what's happening with the Trump fuckery here, because there's a couple of alarming things out of Nevada. According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Trump has sued Nevada's electors. The actual electors who cast their votes in the Electoral College on December 14th. The latest challenge from the Trump campaign does not name state or Clark County election officials as defendants. Instead, it names the electors who are set to cast their Electoral College votes for Biden next month after the election gave the former vice president a 33,000 vote victory in the state. One of Nevada's electors tweeted this, and this was going around virally on Twitter yesterday. She wrote, "I have just been informed," and I'm not going to name her name in case there are any Red Hat trolls listening. I don't want to say the name of this person because she's probably getting all kinds of fucking horrible things happening in her email inbox and her DMs and so on. But she wrote, "I have just been informed that the Trump campaign has filed a lawsuit against me as an elector for the state of Nevada. Me, a homeless veteran, who is nonetheless continuing to do her duty to the American people." And we, of course, salute her and condemn the fucking anti-democratic nonsense that is dragging her down and attacking her, all because Donald Trump is whining like a fucking whiny diaper baby in the White House about fucking losing. That fucking loser. Jesus God. This is what it's come down to. We're now suing to steal the election. We're abusing the court system, abusing public resources because Donald Trump's fees.
Now, didn't
and there's no way to like draw some kind of protective legal bubble around them. It's just like no more lawsuits.
Well, wait. Didn't the Supreme Court already decide that whatever the state law is, that's how the electors have to vote and that faithless electors don't have to count?
Yes.
Didn't they rule that on like unanimously too? I mean, this is kind of, are they trying to get it to the Supreme Court?
Trump's gang hasn't gotten to that page of the coloring book yet. You know, I mean, they are like hitting it. They're like a bunch of little kids that have been up all night eating sugar and they're just like sitting there spitting ideas on the table and like trying to see.
I also have a question about the Wisconsin recount that's happening. Wasn't that the problem with the Florida recount where Al Gore only wanted to recount where he thought he would get votes, whereas what Trump wants to do is want to throw out votes where he didn't think he got them? Isn't that what the whole Florida thing was with the Supreme Court? That's why they said no, stop the recount, was because it wasn't recounting the whole state?
You know what? That's a really good question. I'm not as up to speed, or I don't recall Bush v. Gore as far as details like that. But yeah,
I seem to recall the problem was, and that's why O'Connor, I think that's why she voted the way she voted, was he's only asking to recount Miami-Dade and other places where it's heavily Democratic.
I see.
Versus recounting the entire state, which is fair. Therefore, stop the recount unless it's going to be the whole state. And obviously, Bush didn't want to recount the whole state. And Al Gore and his people were stupid, in my opinion, in how they filed that lawsuit. Three of the people on the Supreme Court argued, since he's not recounting the whole state.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I see John Roberts voting 5-4 against Trump in this because I think he's thinking legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure about the other two Bush v. Gore people, but I really do think that Roberts would not vote in Trump, or they wouldn't take the case.
Well, I hope Rudy Giuliani argues the case before the Supreme Court if it actually gets there. Because did you see him today in this fucking stupid dog and pony show, this press conference he held?
I saw some of it. It was
no,
just
tell
like,
me about it.
Oh my God, his
Bob's
sweating his hair dye was the best.
Well, at one point he was talking about the My Cousin Vinny defense.
Yeah.
You know, the solid legal precedent of the movie My Cousin Vinny. This is what they've got, folks. This Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani. They've got the Marissa Tomei, Joe Pesci.
It has posi traction. That's how I know it has posi traction. So that's how I know that that car was that year. But the other car doesn't have posi traction. How do you? I'm a mechanic.
Here's Rudy talking about My Cousin Vinny today.
Probably the closest they got is from here to the back of that room.
Oh, so let me set this up. He's talking about the poll watchers, the poll observers, and how, they just couldn't see any shenanigans that were going on. So here we go.
Probably the closest they got is from here to the back of that room. We could do like a, did you all watch My Cousin Vinny? You know the movie? It's one of my favorite law movies because he comes from Brooklyn.
Law movies?
I think he said law movies, but, you know, it's Rudy. It's despicable.
It's despicable.
Well, you don't know what he's saying. He's probably drunk. So there's that, too.
And when the nice lady who said she saw, and then he says to her, how many fingers do I got up?
Oh, my God.
And she says, three. Well, she was too far away to see it was only two. These people were further away than my cousin
this
Vinny
is what
was from
when
the
you
witness. They couldn't see a thing. Since they were written. Now, I don't know.
But there, yeah.
Oh, but hold on. Weren't the Democratic representatives also 6 to 10 feet away?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, this is the shell game they're playing. They're just trying to hoodwink judges and courtrooms judges. And so on. There's no substance here whatsoever.
The most relevant legal
obviously.
Precedent he could cite
is My Cousin Vinny.
My Cousin Vinny.
This is
what happens when you haven't been in federal court since, you know.
Because his biological clock is going tick, tick, tick.
It's despicable.
Yes, it is. It's despicable. So everyone's invited.
What a way to trash a legacy, man.
I know. I mean, this guy was America's mayor after 9/11. I mean, people wanted to run him in 2004 instead of George W. Bush running for re-election in 2004. People wanted him to be president.
Wasn't he SDNY too?
Yeah.
Wasn't he a federal prosecutor?
Yes, he was. He was the U.S. attorney for SDNY.
He is a lawyer, which is what's so baffling about this is that, like, it's that whole Donald Trump, like, my instincts will carry me.
Oh, right.
Like, I have a magic touch thing that I don't need to crack a law book before I walk into federal court with a billion cameras on me and try to, like, change an election.
This is like Compromat or some form of, the brainwashing of my dad. I mean, just another example of how Rudy Giuliani
angling
has been,
for a pardon.
Yeah, been sucked into the grift. You know, it's just like
he's angling for a pardon. Him and Bannon both. That's what I realized when they both jumped out with both feet to be like, election was a fraud. I was like, who's trying to make sure their charges for bilking donors for a private wall?
And which was the other lawyer that blamed Hugo Chavez for the 2020 election? Stealing.
I hadn't heard that one.
Man. It was the other lady, Sydney Powell. Is that her name? I think it was Sydney Powell.
Gloria
basically
Tensing.
Based. She said in this press conference that Hugo Chavez stole the election. He's been dead for 7 years.
The evidence is coming in like a fire hose. You know, I can barely even catch it all. And the processor's like, tell me about some of that evidence. She's like, oh, I can't really. It's ongoing. It's just like, lady, off to the glue factory with you.
Okay, well, each year you want to find special gifts to give family and friends, but it can be a challenge to find something unique. Well, with bestfamilygifts.com, you can get custom canvas prints for a truly one-of-a-kind gift. Choose one of the beautiful prints from bestfamilygifts.com, add the names of special people in your life, and bestfamilygifts.com customizes your chosen print. Imagine glorious ocean sunsets, autumnal forests, or classy black and white vistas. See the collection for yourself at bestfamilygifts.com. You can personalize the text of each print with the names of the people you love, including family, friends, or even your pets. These really are the perfect gift for family and friends. Anyone could get regular canvas framed artwork, but who can say they have custom artwork specifically personalized for them? Well, go to bestfamilygifts.com to see the entire amazing collection of custom canvas prints for yourself and get a 20% discount on your first order with promo code Stephanie. That's bestfamilygifts.com. Remember to use the code Stephanie for 20% off your first order. Bestfamilygifts.com, code Stephanie. Thank you.
Bob Seska. long and I've been wondering where that hurt and pain is gone. Time's a healer, not enough to write a song for its time that seems to always take so long.
As brand new to the show, this is a project called Brother Other. And the song is called When the Dust Settles. Yeah, that's what it is. When the Dust Settles. I was got confused there for a second. Yeah. Song is called When the Dust Settles from You and I and Everything. It is a phenomenal album from start to finish. Gives you all the feels, etc., etc. BobSeska.com. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the two guys.
Sounds like a young John Bon Jovi a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I could see Michael McDermott covering this song.
I feel like male singers like break down into woodwinds and reeds.
Yeah.
Like John Lennon is a reed and Paul McCartney is a woodwind. You know,
hey, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
This guy's definitely in the John Lennon family for me in a good way.
I totally see that. Yeah. Well, you want to go to BobSeska.com, click on the podcast page for this episode, and click all the links for our recording artists here, including Brad Brooks and Brother Other. This is the name of the project. Okay, so moving along, let's see what else here. There's infighting inside the Trump campaign, inside the Trump White House over Rudy Giuliani's role, of course.
It's despicable.
Yes, it is. Giuliani's ascent has led to an explosion of infighting, and disillusionment among the president's longstanding legal team and top campaign officials, resulting in dueling factions emerging from inside the president's dwindling campaign, multiple sources have told ABC News. Oh, so sad. It's so sad.
Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee,
That's
Trump.
That's absolutely right. Sorry,
I would be mad if I was working for Donald Trump and that fucker was getting out there and using my cousin Vinny as a defense and getting paid $20,000 a day to do it.
But man, the red hats are eating that shit with a spoon. They're like, yeah, the cousin Vinny defense. Awesome. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God, the idiocrats. The idiocrats are going to kill us all. They're going to kill us all. You know what we need is some catharsis right now. There is this British comedian who takes on the personality of like a British journalist, like a British TV journalist.
Yes. Kind
of, and his name is Jonathan Pye. And he delivered a hell of a fucking monologue about Donald Trump and the election. Let's listen to this. It's about 2 minutes long. The great Jonathan Pye.
But there's been something quite beautiful about watching Trump's presidency being slowly euthanized by cold, hard numbers and irrefutable facts. Not so much going out with a bang, but an untrustworthy liquid fart. It's so Trump, isn't it, to shit himself when faced with the truth. For days, I'm marveling at the humble majesty of democracy in action as every vote was counted and Trump just takes a steaming dump over the whole process. Real panic mode. Toys being thrown out of the pram at an unprecedented level. Never before has a teddy bear been launched into orbit by the sheer intensity of a tantrum. Interesting, isn't it? Global pandemic killing hundreds and thousands of American citizens. It'll go away like a miracle. But when they're threatening to take away his personal marine helicopter, he springs into action, shouting fraud and fakery at anything he doesn't like the look of, tweeting demonstrable shit and then going for a round of golf. And it's served him well over the last 4 years. But every tweet he now puts out is an example of when yesterday's news doesn't realise it's yesterday's news. I am so happy that Trump is so awful in defeat to watch him finally expose that he really is a despot without any reverence for the machinery of democracy or American values, that he is less a president, more a petulant child. It is so gratifying to see Republicans slowly walk back two steps backwards into the shadows, and those that back up his calls of fraud looking more out of touch with reality by the minute. A joy to watch a mainstream media that for 4 years struggled to call a lie, and allowed Trump to use their platforms to spread those lies, finally call him out for what he is, a liar. When even Fox News says he's talking divisive, dangerous nonsense at the podium, it's game over. It is so satisfying to see that his legal strategy, or lack thereof, involves a hastily arranged press conference hosted by tiny dicked rat boy Rudy Giuliani, looking like Danny DeVito's penguin, in a car park next to a funeral director's and a pawn shop. The poetic imagery is almost too much to bear. This is what the end of a Trump presidency looks like. Not an ounce of dignity in sight.
There you go. That's all I have.
We're just backing up to that part again. I need to hear
the
that.
Rudy part? Yeah, let's go back to that. The tiny dicked rat boy? Is that what he called him?
Yeah.
All right, let's
go. All of them. That's Charlie Kirk. It's Ben Shapiro. It's
hosted by tiny dicked rat boy Rudy Giuliani, looking like Danny DeVito's penguin in a car park next to a funeral director's and a pawn shop. The poetic imagery is almost too much to bear. This is what the end of a Trump presidency looks like. Not an ounce of dignity in sight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tiny dicked rat boy. You know, that might be...
Tiny dicked rat boy.
That might be the name of today's show. Tiny dicked rat boy.
It's a tiny dicked rat boy playing Danny DeVito's penguin. I mean... That to me takes it to the like Olympic level.
I know. And you know, I have one other bit of audio here, but it's going to be anticlimactic after the great Jonathan Pye calling Rudy Giuliani a tiny dicked rat boy. This is the Daily Show put together a Trump loser remix. This is all the times Trump was calling someone else a loser. And now we can revel in this because Donald Trump is now the world's biggest loser.
A total loser.
A tremendous loser.
A sure loser.
A proven loser.
The biggest loser.
A stone cold loser.
A hell of a loser.
Always been a loser.
One of the greatest losers of all time, this guy.
Greatest loser on earth.
One of the greatest losers in the history of politics.
What a loser.
My wife thinks I'm a total loser.
I'm a loser.
I never want to be called loser.
Mm-hmm. Loser. One term loser. One term biff.
Lotus.
Yep.
I saw a thing on Twitter where that someone was like, you know, write Trump's epitaph in 5 words. And I was like, I don't need 5. I got 4. And don't come back. You know,
like, well, I mean, there's such great irony staring us right in the face. The fact that the guy whose catchphrase is you're fired has been told by 80 million Americans.
Yeah.
You're fired. I mean, he has been fired by the American people. I mean, that's the beauty of this. The you're fired guy was summarily fired, not by one fucking asshole with a diaper sitting at a boardroom table. 80 million Americans all saying in unison, you're fired. Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
I got to say, the other morning, like, in spite of everything, in spite of, you know, having a possibly terminally ill cat, to the pandemic, to everything. But I woke up and I had just had the best night of sleep and I felt so refreshed.
Yeah.
I haven't woken up feeling refreshed since 2015.
Wow.
I mean, and I just like some cosmic shift in my mind has decided that, you know, yeah, it's, you know, the hypervigilance is no longer necessary. I don't need to lie awake all night listening for sounds of, like, you know, ICE trucks pulling up in the front yard to come and take away my husband, even though he's perfectly legal to be here.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you brought that up because, I mean, I've been feeling the same way, too. I mean, not just in terms of sleep, but in terms of just the course of a normal day. I'm starting to feel those pockets of breathing room. Where it used to be occupied by Trump screaming shit, whether on television, on Twitter, on some streaming video somewhere. And that is going away. It's fading away. And suddenly I'm finding these gaps in my day where I'm just like, oh, I can open the window.
I'll clean something.
Yeah, yeah. I can open a book maybe for a very brief minute before it's back to work. But I mean, it's those little gaps of time that you cherish.
It's very interesting to me that he suddenly is nowhere.
Right.
The man who can't get enough attention, the man who like would just like stomp on someone's face to get in front of a camera like he did at that summit in Helsinki or wherever.
Yeah.
Like is suddenly just like bunker boy again. He's just like I won't talk to them. I'm too angry. They've hurt my feelings. You know, just like
so sad with his stomach going. That's the sound of his intestines.
Jenna Ellis said, your question, okay, she was asked about evidence that they're going to present in this stupid press conference. And she said, literally, your question is fundamentally flawed. when you're asking where's the evidence, you clearly don't understand the legal process.
Oh, my God.
I thought evidence was important in legal processes.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
Is there not a porn actress with her same name? Am I getting this wrong?
There's Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson, yeah.
I guess that's what it is. But I hear, every time I hear Jenna Ellis, I
then there's Jenna
that,
Elfman, but they're not the same person.
No. But I just, every time I hear Jenna Ellis, for some reason, I'm imagining like the other Jenna. What's the first one you mentioned?
Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson in like a sexy lawyer outfit, you know, like she's who they got for the legal team.
That's the thing for the after party. People who listen to the after party recognize the fact that somewhere in my brain, I have stored the names of dozens of porn stars. I don't know why that's the case, but I do. And it's, I wish I could erase that part of my brain and use it for important information. But, you know, that's the way biology goes. All right, Jody Hamilton can be found at from-the-bunker.com. David Ferguson is at patreon.com/theTrexReport. Also, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Postmortem Show up next, bobseskashow.com if you want to subscribe. Thanks, folks. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The season of giving thanks is upon us right now. The special day of turkey, family, and football will be here before you know it. Before gathering with your family to share in your Thanksgiving traditions, it's important to allow some extra time for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best for your loved ones. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes, visibly reduced wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Numbers 11 and crow's feet. Take 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. We are talking about Photoshop in a can. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal at checkout. Thank you.